Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Beitza has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Friedman, Leila Nishmas, Menachem Ben Yosef, and Tzina Devora Bas Yechiel.
Be'a Davov. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, mace, if you have a mace in front of you that needs to be buried. So, B'yom Tev Rishon, Yisasku Boi Amamin. If it's the first day Yom Tev, so then you should use Goyim in order to bury the mace. B'yom Tev Sheni, Yisasku Boi Yisroel. On the second day Yom Tov, a Yisrael is already allowed to be misasig with it. Now concerning the din, the chumrah that we say that you have to use dafka a goy on Yom Tov Rishon, there is a machlokes rishonim as far as what things must be done by the goy, the hainu. The Hagoyis Maimonides in Perik Aleph, Hilchas Yom Tov, Ois Ayin, brings down the shita of the Ravan. The Ravan says that even though it says that you need to use dafka agoy, that's only true legabe the digging of the kever and covering the mace with ufer. However, the actual carrying of the mace, hoitzah, is mutter even ayde Yisrael on Yom Tov Rishon. Why would that be true? Because we know that hoitzah is mutter on Yom Tov. Even things that are not letzarech Yom Tov, we pass in like Beis Hillel, in the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, there Beis Shammai Beis Hillel argue whether you're allowed to take a katan or a lulav or a sefer Torah to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai say it's aser, and Beis Hillel say you're allowed to. And the Gemara explains because we say mitoich shehotra haitzah letzarech hotra namin shaloi letzarech. Since we are matir haitzah letzarech oichol nefesh on Yom Tov, so you're also allowed to do things shaloi letzarech oichol nefesh. In which case, the fact that we're requiring you to use a goy that's only legabe chafiris hakever, but haitzah is hameis, would be mutter. You'll ask, well, what about the problem of muktzah? Hameis is muktzah. The answer is, like we see all over, you could use a kikar oitinak. If a person wants to move a mace, the mace is in the sun, it's going to be nisrach, so you're allowed to take a kikar oitinak and put it on top of the mace and be metaltalet. It was a special kula that Chazal gave legabe tiltal of a mace. So that is the shita of the Ravan. There is also a deya brought down by the Ramban. The Ramban is in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Beis. Over there he says, V'hai damrinin yisasku by amamin. The fact that we say that you need a goy yesh oimrim, some say, says the Ramban, dafka b'kfurasi, that that's only a requirement with regards to the kfura. Aval tiltulai mutra al yidei kikar oitinoik. However, the tiltul you could do al yidei kikar oitinoik, v'hoitza osay, take me out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, nami muteres, ki beis hillel, da amri mitoich shehotra lehoitza letzarech, hotra nami shaloi letzarech. So that's one opinion in the Rishonim, that the din that you have to use a goy is only legabe the kvura itself. However, the Ramban brings Acherim Amru Sha'asr. It's asr to be metaltal the mace, v'chein b'mashma ha'loshin. He says the loshin of the Gemara is Yisasku boy amamin. The loshin Yisasku, it sounds like all of the asakim, b'chol iskoy ka'amar. It sounds like we're telling you that every hisaskus that needs to be done, legabe this mace, should be done al yidei a goy. Otherwise, it would have said, yikbaru amamin. The Ramban gives several reasons for this shita that you're not allowed to do the other malachis al yidei a yisrael. Number one, he says if we are a matir, a yid, to start doing tiltal, then he's going to finish off the malachis and he'll do the kvura itself, and that we don't want him to do. We also don't want him to assist the guy in any way, since the guy is doing a malachi gemura. And he says, since anyway you have to use goyim to do the burial, so why not get the goy to do the tiltal instead of being soimach on the din that covered abrius is matir tiltal idei kikar oitinuk. So these are reasons why it's mistaver to say that Chazal would rather that you use a goy as opposed to giving you kulas to do the tiltal. That's all legabe the tiltal. However, legabe the haitzah, the Ramban has a yisodistik machloikis with this shita. Because we said that the reason why Haitzah is mutter, according to the Ravan and the Yesharim that the Ramban brings down, is because mitoich shehotra litzayrich, oichol nefesh shehotra nami shaloi litzayrich. The Ramban says, lefi daiti Haitzah's mace lekvura, if you take out a mace into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah for the purposes of kvura, ka Haitzah's avonim lebinyin, she'ein loyra boi mitoich, mishim leishayich boi tzayrich hayoim. The halacha is you're not allowed to carry anything. You cannot take stones out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, which you're going to use at a later point for binyan, for building something, because there's no tzayrich Yom Tov whatsoever. The din of mitoich shehotra haitzah litzayrich, hutchenamish lo litzayrich, requires, says the Ramban, that there is some sort of tzayrich Yom Tov. It may not be tzayrich oichol nefesh, and that's what we need mitoich for, but it still has to be tzayrich hayoim. That is the opinion of the vast majority of the Rishonim, that you need to have somewhat tzarech hayoyim. There is the opinion of the Ran that Shitas Rashi is that it doesn't even have to be a tzarech ktsas. However, first of all, Rashi and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph is very much mashmi. You do have to have a tzarich ktsas. Maybe it's only in Iser Durabanan when you don't have a tzarich ktsas, like the Shita Sarambam in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid. And second of all, the majority of the Rishonim reject this idea that you don't need a tzarich ktsas. They hold you have to have a tzarich ktsas. In fact, most of the Rishonim actually hold that it's an Iser Dairaisa if you don't have a tzarich ktsas. A person would get malchus if it would be moitzi avonim. So therefore, says the Ramban, this is not a tzarich yomtif. So of course, you wouldn't be able to apply mitoch shehotcho l'tzarich, hotcho etzo nami shaloi l'tzarich. Says the Ramban, maybe you'll tell me that this is a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah today to bury this mace. You're not supposed to leave the mace overnight. So that should be called tzarich yomtif. Answers the Ramban that you see that legabe sreifas kodshim, the halacha is that you're not supposed to be served kodshim on yomtif, even though by havara we also say mitoch shehotcho havara l'tzarich. Nevertheless, this is not called a tzarich yomtiv. A person has to burn kachim. He's got to wait till after the yomtiv to burn them, and he's not allowed to burn them today, even though he has a mitzvah. So you see that a mitzvah doesn't make something be considered a tzarich ktsas, a tzarich yomtiv. So hu adin, the kvura of a mace, although it's a mitzvah, that's not going to be considered a tzarich yomtiv. Now, to explain the shita of the Ravan, and the Yesh Oimrim that the Ramban brings down, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Siman Tov Tzadik Hei, in the Kunches Achron, Ha'ara Gimel, says that they also agree that you're not allowed to do a malacha on Yom Tif, which is not a tzarich ktsas. Even though we use mitoch shehotcho l'tzarich hotcho shloi l'tzarich, you still have to have a tzarich ktsas, you have to have a tzarich hayom, it has to be tzarich Yom Tif. Nevertheless, they hold that that's called tzarich Yom Tif because you have a mitzvah. What about the Ramban's question from Sreifas Kodshim? He says there's a big difference. Nobody ever told you Sreifas Kodshim that it's got to be done dafka today. It can be done after Yom Tov as well. There's nothing about the mitzvah that's asking for it to be done today, and therefore it's not called Tzarech HaYoyim. Masha'en came the kvura of a maze, there's a mitzvah to bury him before Shkiyas HaChama. Even though you're not over the lav, there's a lois to save lois sullen. You're not allowed to let it stay overnight, so that you're not over until the next morning. Nevertheless, there is a mitzvah asay of kavor sikvirenu b'yayim ahu. You have to bury it that day. So somebody who has a mitzvah to do a specific thing today, that's called tzarich hayoyim. Now the assumption that he's making, that there's a difference between the lav and the asay, that the lav you're over the next morning. Mashenkin the asay, you're over as soon as shkia comes, because it says kavor sikvirenu b'yayim ahu, that's debatable, the lashon of the chinuch. In mitzvah, Tavkuf Lamed Vav, is mashma that there's absolutely no difference between the mitzvahs aseh and the mitzvahs lois aseh. Because there the chinuch is discussing the lav, and he says, oh, the entire inyan of this mitzvah I explained to you over there by the aseh. And the lashon that he uses by the aseh in that mitzvah, in Tavkuf Lamed Zayin, is that over alzeh veheilin esameh shaloi lechvoidoi bitl aseh zeh. So it's mashma, you need halana in both cases, bein legabi the lav and bein legabi the aseh. So according to the chinuch, it's definitely not considered tzarich hayom because you have matzah yom. Nevertheless, the Adinezer in Arachayim, Simen Tov Vav, says that it doesn't make a difference. We can still explain these shitas, the Ravan and the Yeshayim and the Ramban, that hold that this is called Tzarech Yom Tov, because even if you're not over the Aseh until the next morning, it certainly is the L'chatchila to do it on that day, because it says Bayoyim Ahu, and the next night is not considered Bayoyim Ahu. Now, as far as the Ramban, who does not consider this to be a difference, the fact that Sreifas Kodshim is not necessarily something you have to do today. Masha'en kein, kvuras hameis. Even if you hold that you're not over until the next morning, nevertheless, Avnezer just told us that l'chatchila you're supposed to do it today. So why doesn't the Ramban hold that that's a difference? He's bringing a raya from Sreifas Kodshim that when you have a mitzvah, then it's not considered tzarich hayoyim. But we just said a difference between Sreifas Kodshim and kvuras hameis. Kvuras hameis, you have a mitzvah to do it today. Says the Avnezer, the only time that a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, is considered tzarich hayoyim, is if that mitzvah is servicing a person, if the gavra, who's alive, has a need to do something. Let's say he has to take a lulav. So the gavra needs to take a lulav. Since the din of taking a lulav is a mitzvah that gavra has today, it's called tzarich hayoyim, because that's one of his needs today. Masha'en kein, the fact that you have to bury the mace today is a need of the mace, not a need of the person. It's better for the mace if he's buried that day. So even though, in turn, I become a chuyiv to make sure that it gets buried today, that's not called a tzarich hayoyim for me, because the real tzarich is the mace's tzarich. Now, Avnei Nezer brings a raya to this yisoid from the Gemara later on Davzayin Abayz, the Gemara that's discussing our Mishnah that says that if a person shechted a chayah or an oifan yomtif, umoidim she'im shachat, she'yachbar v'deker v'yichase. That since you need to do kisei adam, you should take a deker, which is a type of shovel, and you should do the kisei and yomtif. And the question the Gemara asks is, v'ha'ovid ketisha, you're doing koitish. Meleches koitish means that you're grinding up a clump of dirt in order to do this melech, and it's told of meleches toichin. Asks the Avnezer, it's Yomtif. And on Yomtif we know that you're allowed to be Kodesh Melach. You can take a clump of salt and, for the purposes of Eichel Nefesh, take it apart, which is what you're doing to this dirt over here. So why don't we say, Mitoch Shehutcher Litzorich, Hutcher Nami Shaloy Litzorich? And therefore, it would be mutter to do the Ketisha for the purposes of Kisei Hadam. Says the Avnezer, it's because Kisei Hadam is not your need, it's the need of the Dam. So when something is a mitzvah, mitzad the gavra, so then it's called tzarech yomtiv. But when the siba for the mitzvah is the cheftza, either the mace or the dam, then we don't say that it's considered tzarech yomtiv. So to sum it up, we have machlokes Ravan and Ramban, whether the din of mace b'yomtiv rishon yisasku bei amamin is legabe everything that you need in order to get this mace buried, including the tiltol, which is the shita of the Ramban, or only the Gabi the Kvura, Mashenkin the Tiltal, is something that you're allowed to do like the Kikar Vatinuk, which is the Shita of the Ravan. And the Ravan holds that a person is allowed to do Hoitzah, bring it out to the Shisarabim, and therefore you don't need a guy for that part. And that's because he holds a Mitoich. The Ramban rejects it because Mitoich requires Tzorich Ktsas, you need to have a Tzorich Yomtif. And he says that a mitzvah is not considered a Tzorich Yomtif. And even though there is a mitzvah to bury him today, that's not called tzarech yomtif, because we're understanding, like the Avnezer b'shitas Ramban, that a tzarech yomtif needs to be the gavra's tzarech and not the chefz's tzarech. Mashenkin the Ravan holds that the fact that you're supposed to do it today renders it a tzarech ayoyim, it's a tzarech yomtif. Now this is all legabi the first din of Rava, that b'yomtif rishen yisasku boi amamim. Rava though continues and he says that b'yomtif sheni yisasku boi Yisroel. Chazal made a special kula, legabe yomtiv sheni, that they allowed a Yisrael to be misasek with the tzarchei hameis. Now Tosfos in Devar Maschil yomtiv sheni asks a kasha. In Moyikotin, daf chesem abeis, it says, ein choifen kuchen b'moyid. You're not allowed to dig graves on chol hamoyid. So how could it be that you're allowed to dig a grave on yomtiv sheni, but you're not allowed to dig a grave on chol hamoyid? Over here, yomtiv sheni says you can be misasek with tzarchei hameis. Tosfos answers, V'yashloimer kipirish rach. The Rabbeinu Chananel explains over there in Moed Katan that it says that you're not allowed to dig a grave for a mace, that it's not talking about a case where there's a mace in front of us that needs to be attended to. Rather, it was the practice to dig many kvarim. They had to dig kvarim for the eventuality. Mace would come later, somebody would die, and he would need to be buried right away, so they would have a ready-made kever for him. So that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, because that's not considered Tzorchei HaMoed. It's being done for after the Moed. Mashenkin, over here we're talking about something that needs to be done today. Now we mentioned earlier that with regards to the din of Mitoich, the rule that you're allowed to do Melachis on Yom Tov itself, if those Melachis are mutter in certain scenarios, Mitoich Shehutru Litzorich, Hutchenami Shaloi Litzorich, there's a stipulation that Rav Rishayim hold of, which is that you have to have a Tzorich Yom Tov Ktsas, and we learned that there's a Machloikis whether Tzorchei HaMeis is considered Tzorchei Yom Tov. So we saw that this, the assumption of the Ravan is that that's considered Tzorchei Yom Tov, and that's why Haitzah would be mutter. Now, Legabe, this halacha of Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to do Tzorchei HaMoed, and it's mashma that you would be allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed if there would be a mace that would die on Chol HaMoed. Now, since the Ramban in Moed Katan does seem to agree to this teretz of Tosfos, then we have to say that there's a chilek between the geder of Tzorich HaMoed that we say legabe Chol HaMoed and the din of Tzorich Yomtif when we talk about Mitoch Shotru L'Tzorich Shaloi L'Tzorich that we need to have a Tzorich Yomtif. Tzorich HaMoed, it's enough, even Tzorich HaMeis, Mashen Ken Yomtif, Tzorich HaMeis would not be considered Tzorich HaYomtif. Al Kol Panim, it's Mevura, according to this teretz, which is also the teretz of the Rif, that the din of Rava, that you're allowed to be misasik, even a Yisrael is allowed to be misasik, on Yom Tov Sheni, is true even legabe the chafira of the kever. The malacha of digging a kever is mutter for Yisrael if there is a meis befaneinu. Now we have to ask a stira in Rashi, because on the one hand, Rashi seems to agree to the teretz we just said. The teretz that Tosfos says, b'shem the Rabbeinu Chananel, we said the Rif says the teretz. Rashi's loshen in Moed Katan daf ches mebeis, ein choifrin kuchen ukvarois, letzorich mesim, shedarkan lachbar kuchen ukvarois, lizmanon, letzorich mesim, sheyamusu. And Tosfos over there in Dibur Maskla in Choyfern is Medayik Rashi's Lashin. That you see that Rashi holds like this teretz that the Rach says. That it's Dafka in Isser to be Choyfer Kvarim for Mesim that are going to die. But any Mace that already is dead, then even on Yom Tov Sheni it's Mutter. However, the Rishonim bring down from Rashi a different teretz to this Kasha. We don't have it in Rashi Befaneinu, but in Rashi, on the side of the Rif, the following teretz appears. He says that Rava, who says that you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov Sheni, is not talking about the digging of the kever. He's only talking about the tiltel or other things that don't involve a tremendous amount of tircha. Kigoyin, he says, l'chabsoi or ligzai saroi, to wash the mace or to remove his hair. But things like chafira, which is digging a kever and it's strenuous work, that you're not allowed to do. And that you're not allowed to do because in Chol HaMoed and Kol Shekein and Yom Tov Sheni, you wouldn't be allowed to exert yourself so much and do such a malacha. So that's the teretz of the kasha. You don't have to say we're talking about where the mace is not befaneinu. Even if a mace is here, you're not allowed to do chafira. And that's what the Mishnah Moed Katan is talking about. Ein chayfen kuchen l'maseim. So the Rush asks this as a stira in Rashi. On the one hand, it sounds like he holds that if the mace is befaneinu, you're allowed to do chafira. And the only reason why over there you're not allowed to do chafira is because the mace is not befaneinu. We're talking about doing it for maceim that are going to come after Yom Tov. And on the other hand, he seems to say that even if the mace is befaneinu, you're not allowed to do chafira. So the Rush answers Beshitas Rashi as follows. He says that La'olam, Rashi agrees to the teretz that Tosfos says b'shem the Rach, and the teretz that we said, the Rif says, that you would be allowed to do chafira if there's a mace befaneinu. Chafira is mutter, and the reason why over there you're not allowed to is because the mace is not befaneinu, the person hasn't died yet. However, Rashi was also medayik in Rava's Lashon. Rava says, mace b'yomtav sheni yis'asku bo Yisroel. Rava doesn't tell us that that heter to be misasek in the Tzorche HaMeis was said only in the beginning of Yom Tov. So what happens if on Yom Tov Sheni, the Meis passes away close to the end of Yom Tov? It's not like Rava distinguishes between when the Meis dies. It sounds like even then Rava would say that although you cannot bury this Meis on Yom Tov, there's not enough time to bury him before Yom Tov is over, nevertheless, yis'asku bo Yisrael, you're allowed to be oisek in the Tzorche HaMeis. And that is problematic, because there we have a Mishnah in Moed Katan that says that when you have Mesim that are going to come after Yom Tov, you're not allowed to go and dig Kvarim on Chol HaMoed. So why don't we say that just like Rava was Mater over here, doing a Maisa of Chafira for the Mace, even though it's not Letzorech Yom Tov, because it's going to be buried after Yom Tov, so too over there by Chol HaMoed we should say you're allowed to dig Kvarim for Mesim that are going to come after Yom Tov. And that's where Rashi gives his teretz, and he says that the din of Rava, that you're allowed to be oisik in the Tzorche HaMeis, even when it's close to the end of Yom Tov, and it won't be buried on Yom Tov, there you're not allowed to do things that have a big teretz like chafira. So it comes out that Rava was really matter two things. If the Meis is befaneinu, and you know that you could bury him on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do chafira of a kever. However, if you know that you cannot bury the mace on the Yom Tov, then the only things that you're allowed to do are things that don't involve tremendous tircha. Now the Yamshel Shloima argues on the Rosh. He says it cannot be that they were matir on Yom Tov to do things that are not letzorich kvura of Yom Tov. It's pashut to him that when it says kichol shavyur rabbanan, that was for the sake of kvura on Yom Tov, and so he doesn't want to accept the yishuv that the Rosh gives to the stira in Divrei Rashi. As far as the two Rashis, he says that Rashi is just saying two separate mahalchim. One is not going to agree to the other, and they don't have to work together. So according to him, that means that Rashi gave you two options how to be miyashiv the stira. One shita holds that chafira is mutter, but mutter for a kavura that's going to happen today, and not mutter for something that's going to happen after Yom Tov. And the other shita holds that chafira was never mutter. Now halacha lemaisa, regarding the first shaila that we brought up, that on Yom Tov Rishon, we say yis'asku bay amamin, dafka goyim. There's a machlokes rishonim that we mentioned as to whether a yid is allowed to do things like haitzah because of mitoich. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Archaim Simon Tov Kuf Chavav Sif Aleph that you're allowed to do haitzah. And it was paskin that you could do things that are mutter midin mitoich shutzalitzayruch uchenami shalolitzayruch. And not like the Ramban. Legabe, the second shaila that we mentioned, that I'm Yom Tov Sheni, yis'asku by Yisrael. And the question is, what things are the Yisrael allowed to do? So on this, we also have in Siman Tov Kuf Chavav, in Siv Dalit, that the Mechaber passes that you're even allowed to be Choyfer the Kever. However, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva in Igris Moshe, Chel Gimel Erechaim Siman Ein Vav, that although Chazal were Mater and Yom Tov Sheni, that Yisasku by Yisrael, but he says that the reason, the motivation for this Kula was not because of the Isser of Halonas HaMeis, leaving the Meis overnight. Because as far as leaving the Meis overnight, it would have been Mutter, since we find that this din of Halonas HaMeis is mutter whenever it's Kvoid HaMeis. So Kvoid Shemaim is greater than Kvoid HaMeis. Furthermore, he says it's a great covet for the Meis if we ensure that Yom Tov is not Nischalal Al Yodai. Rather, he says the reason why we were Matir, Yisasku by Yisroel, is because of the problem that it's going to be Nisrach. And that's a tremendous Bizayin HaMeis. The Meis begins to rot, so we have to do something to be Matir the Kvura. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, since the whole reason is only because of Sirchen HaMeis, that the Meis is going to rot, nowadays we don't have that problem. There's refrigeration. And he says if we would have had this Bimei Chazal, it's Borer that they never would have been Mater, being Koiver, Biyom Tov Sheni, not even through Goyim. And he has an Arichas there to try to be Matstik, the Shittas of the Rabbanim, who actually allowed for such a thing to happen nowadays, but he himself does not give a heter, and especially since he says that when you make a levaya on Yom Tov Sheni, it's all to bring about other chilul Yom Tov as well, such as people using telephones or driving, because once people know that there's levaya and that you're allowed to do the levaya, so then they don't distinguish between the different types of malachas. So his maskana is not to be matir the Yisasku Yisrael at all. Now Rav Moshe is a very big chiddush, because as Rav Moshe himself points out in that tshuva, there's a mashmos in our Gemara that this is not true, because our Gemara says in the Hemshich as follows. Amar Marzutra lo yamaren ela de ishtohi. Marzutra says that the only time that we're matir, Rashi explains that we're talking about the Yisasku by Yisrael, the only time that we're matir on Yom Tov Sheni, that a Yisrael can be misasik with a mace, is if the mace has been waiting a considerably long time from the time of his misa till the time of the kvura, so there's a chashash that he's going to be masriach, then we allow it to be done al yidei Yisrael. If not too much time is going to pass between the misa and the kvura, if we wait until after Yom Tov Sheni, then mashinan le, we allow him to wait around, and we don't do the kvura al yidei Yisrael. Rev Ashi, however, argues, and he says, afagav de lo yishtoi nami loy mashinan le. Even if it doesn't happen to be a long time from the Misa until the Kvura, meaning there's no Chshash, Shema Yasriach, still we're not Mashe, the Meis. My Taima, Yom Tov Sheni, Legabe Meis, Kechol Shav Yorabonin. The Rabbanan considered Yom Tov Sheni, Legabe Meis, like Chol, it's considered like a weekday. So once we have that heter, theoretically we should say that even nowadays when we have refrigeration, it's still already Kechol Shav Yorabonin. Answers Rav Moshe, what does Rav Ashi mean? Why would they have made it kechoil? Why wouldn't we say like Mazutra that the only reason why they were matir is because of the tam that we don't want it to become nisrach? He says Rav Ashi also agrees that that's the reason for the takana. So why would he say that they all of a sudden made it like choil gomer? In other words, we do find that there's a concept of loy plug, but that's when we're being machmir. We say that Chazal made a gzeira in one place, and even with the gzeira, the time of the takana doesn't apply, they said loy plug and they made the takana across the board. But here we're talking about heter. So why would we say that the heter is across the board, even when the time of the heter doesn't apply? Says Rav Moshe, very interesting pshat in what Rav Ashi means. He says that since many times we have to be matir, even al yidei Yisrael, because there are many cases where the Meis is going to become Nisrach, Chazal felt compelled to then go and be Matir the Isser. Because if we wouldn't be Matir the Isser, rather we would leave it as an Isser. It's something that is wrong to do on Yom Tov. It's just that we're Matir it specifically for this Meis so that he shouldn't become Masriach. Then it would come out a tremendous Bizoyan to the Meis, because we're doing a Maise Isser for the Meis. He says Chazal didn't feel comfortable with that either. So they're left in a quandary. What are they supposed to do? We want to be matir in order that the mace shouldn't become a suriach. So therefore we have to give a heter to go ahead and bury the mace al yidei Yisroel. But that gufa is going to generate now a tremendous bizoyan for the mace, because it's going to come out that we're doing a maisa isser for the mace. In order to save the mace from that bizoyan, they went ahead and they were matir the isser entirely. That's what it means kechel shav yorabonin. Therefore, He says, "Bimdina seino, in our country, bizman hazeh, that there is never a chash of sirchein, because every mace ends up in some form of refrigeration to prevent sirchein until the kvura takes place, then the takana never starts. We can't say kechol shavu rabbanan, because kechol shavu rabbanan is only a product of the fact that because of sirchein and mace, they were matered, and then they didn't want to be resigned for the mace, because it looks like we're being matered for him, something that is dvar iser. But if we don't have to start the process, we don't have to be matered l'chatchila," he says, "then we're not." And he says, "Barer, that chazal, if in their times there would have been this method of refrigeration, they wouldn't have been matered the kfura on Yom Tov." So he says that all those rabbanim who say that you're allowed to do it, they probably are samech on the fact either that once they were matir it, the heter doesn't go away, or that there are certain places where they don't have the refrigeration, and since legabi those places you have to be mesakin that you could use a Yisrael, so therefore we have kechol shavu rabbanan nowadays as well. However, he himself, that's his pshat, the reason why he holds that it's considered not kechol shavu rabbanan. Now, concerning this machloikis between Rav Ashi and Marzutra, there is a big question in the Rishonim, what exactly are they addressing? Rav Ashi, we know, is addressing Yom Tov Sheni when he says Kechol Shav Yorbonan. That's clear. The question is Marzutra, who says that the heter is only bid ishtoi, when the mace is taking a long time between the misa and the kfura. So a word is going to be masriach. Is Marzutra talking dafka about the heter of Yisrael b'yom tov sheni, or is he referring also to the heter of al yedei amamin, al yedei goy on yom tov rishon? The Ran brings a machloikis about this. He says, Ikaman diyamar, there is a shita that Marzutra is actually referring to every din that Rava said, bein the din of yom tov rishon al yedei akum and the din of Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael. Neither heter would exist if it would be lo yishtoi, if the mace would be, let's say, nowadays with refrigeration, so you wouldn't even have the heter of Yom Tov Rishon al Yedei Agoy. And even Rav Ashi, who argues on Marzutra, was only arguing on Yom Tov Sheni. So he agrees to what Marzutra said about Yom Tov Rishon, that you need the Tanai of Ishtoi, that the mace is becoming Masriach, but he argues and says that in the case where the mace is not becoming Masriach, then although we don't allow on Yom Tov Rishon al Yedei Goy, but we would allow Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael. However, the Ran rejects this pshat. He says it can't be, because if that's true, then Rav Ashi shouldn't have said in a Lashon Stam, Afagav de lo yishtoi nami lo mashin alei. It sounds like he's fully rejecting everything Marzutra says. Afagav de lo yishtoi lo mashin alei. He should have said, Rav Ashi says, Meis b'yom tov sheni afagav de lo yishtoi lo mashin alei, to make it clear that he's only rejecting part of Marzutra's statement. Since the mashmos, the way the Gemara presents it, is as if Rav Ashi is totally rejecting Marzutra's statement, we see from this that Marzutra was not talking about the heter of Yom Tov Rishon al Yedei Agoy, rather he was only talking about the heter of Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael. And Lefize, it would come out that although Marzutra, according to the Ran, is asering using a Yisrael on Yom Tov Sheni when the mace is not Masriach, since we just said that he would be maskim that on Yom Tov Rishon you could use a goy, so kol shekein on Yom Tov Sheni you could also use a goy. It's just that when it's loy mashinan, it's not going to be masriach, so you can't use a yisra. The Rosh, however, is medayik from Rashi and Shabbos in Kuf Lamed Tesem Beis Dibur Maschil Meis that Marzutra, according to Rashi's understanding, is going on Yom Tov Rishon as well. He brings down that this is the shita of the Bahag also. However, he sides with the Ran. He says that he doesn't think that the Mashmos of the Gemara is like Rashi and the Bahag. Furthermore, he says, besides the Mashmos of the Gemara, he says, I don't think it's mistaver to say that Kavod Abrius should not be doicha the Isser of Amir La'akam. The Isser of Amir La'akam is a Shvus, and for the purposes of Kavod Abrius, we should be doicha. Like we said earlier from Rav Moshe, that Rashi may hold this not a tain at all, because Rav Moshe explained that there is no issue of Kavod Abrius. Kolzman is not being Masriach, because Kavod Yom Tov is greater than the Kavod of the Mace. And so even though there is an inyan to have him buried now, but it would be a greater Kavod for Yom Tov, and it's also a greater Kavod for the Mace if you give Kavod to Yom Tov. So this taina that Kavod Abrius should be doicha is not a taina. I'll call upon him. It comes out that according to the Rosh and the Ran, Rav Ashi and Marzutra are in agreement that you could use a goy. Bein b'yom tov rishon, bein b'yom tov sheni, now you would be allowed to use a goy. And the only thing that Marzutra and Rav Ashi are arguing about is yom tov sheni to use a Yisrael. Now Rav Kiveger asks Akasha on the Shita of the Ran and the Rosh. He says that why is it that Marzutra holds that in the case of Ishtoi, meaning where it's going to be Masriach, that you're allowed to bury him on Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael? it's clearly not because of the actual fear that the mace is going to be masriach. And he proves this because the Ran says beferish that the heter to bury him Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael is true even if you have goyim available. So you see that the fact that we're matar al Yedei Yisrael is not contingent on the fact that the mace is in danger of becoming masriach. You have the etza of burying him al Yedei a goy. Why then were they matir on Yom Tov Sheni al Yedei Yisrael in a case where the mace could be masriach, lefi marzutra? It's not necessary to be doicha Yom Tov. You could use a goy, and marzutra doesn't hold of kechoil shavyur rabbanon. So why? Says Reb Kveger, there must be a klal, according to marzutra, that whenever we have a heter to attend to his kavura al Yedei a goy, then we're allowed to go now and do it al Yedei Yisrael as well. So Bishlam, in a case where it's lo yishtahi, where the mace is not in danger at all becoming masriach, we wouldn't even tell you to do it al yidei goy. And since you're not allowed to attend to his kvura, we tell you, you can't do it al yidei yisrael yom tov sheni either. But in a case where it is yishtahi, and you have a heter of using a goy, then they were more makel by yom tov sheni, and they told you that you could even use the yisrael. In a case where you're given the rights to attend to his kvura, he says that only makes sense according to Rashi and the Bahag, not according to the Ran and the Rosh. Because according to the Ran, you're allowed to attend to his kvura al yidei a goy, even where it's lo yishtahi. As we explained, that it's a culture came from Yom Tov Rishon. They learned that at Yom Tov Rishon, you're allowed to bury Mal Yedei Goy. So if that's true, then Yom Tov Sheni, you're also allowed to bury Mal Yedei Goy. Then it's mutter to attend to his kvura. Then it should be mutter al Yedei Yisrael as well. Elamai, you want to tell me that they were only matir in a case where the mace is in danger of actually being masriach. So then why, when you have goyim available on Yom Tov Sheni, are you allowed to bury Mal Yedei Yisrael? So because of this kasher, Kveger rejects the Ran and he says a different pshat. However, the Sfasemis explains that the Ran makes a lot of sense. And he says he doesn't even understand what's bothering Reb Kveger. Because he explains that the reason why on Yom Tov Sheni, when the mace is ishtoi, when it's in a matzav that it could be masriach, that you're allowed to bury Mal Yedei or Yisrael, is not because we're giving you the permission to attend to his kavura, and since you could do it Al Yedei a goy, even on Yom Tov Rishon, therefore you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov Sheni, even Al Yedei Yisrael. It's actually because the fact that he's oimid l'hasriach. Whenever a mace is in danger of becoming masriach, we were matar Yom Tov Sheni, according to Marzutra. You'll ask me that that's not true because you see that when you have a goy in front of you, you're also allowed to use a Yisrael. He says that's not a problem because once we give you the license to bury him al Yedei Yisrael because he may be Masriach, even if you manage to find an Eitzah to get out of that problem, it's already nitten to be doicha the Yom Tov Sheni. The very fact that the mace has the chance of becoming masriach tells us immediately that we're matar Yom Tov Sheni, and we don't ask you to go finding eitzes to do it al yidei goy. So in a case of lo yishtoi, where the mace is not going to be masriach, the only thing that we're matar is the iser of amir la'akum. We tell you you're allowed to do it al yidei goy, but we won't be matar Yom Tov Sheni for you. In a case of ishtoi, where the mace is going to be masriach, then mazutra's moida that they made it kichoil and allowed you to use a Yisrael, even if you have the option of using a goy. So it comes out according to him that Marzutra and Rav Ashi are both in agreement that at some point the Rabbanan came along and were matar Yom Tov Sheni entirely, even when you have another Eitzah. It's just that Rav Ashi holds they made it kechoil right away, whether you have the Siba of its being Masriach or not. And according to Marzutra, you first need the mace to be in a matziv of ishtoi. You have the Siba for which we would be doicha Yom Tov if we needed to. And that in turn makes a kechoil shavyur Rabbanan. The Gemara says, Itmar, Efroyach Shenoila bi Yom Tov. What is the halacha about an Efroyach, a chick that hatches on Yom Tov? Rav says that it's Asur, Shmuel v'Tem, Rabbi Yochanan says that it's Mutter. The reason the Gemara gives for Rav is because it's Mukta. We know, as the Gemara says in Amud Beis, that Ben Ashmashes, it was Asur to eat this egg with the chick inside because there's an Isur Sheretz. Until the chicken opens its eyes, it's aser midin kol asheretz asheretz ala aretz. So it's a regular case of muktzah. The shas kinesis ha-yomtiv, this thing was aser, and therefore it remains muktzah throughout the yomtiv. Shmuel v'item Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's mutter hoyul umatir atzmoy b'shchita. What is the svara of a hoyul umatir atzmoy b'shchita? So Rashi says hoyul umatir atzmoy b'lei dosay li yos nishchat. Since upon it's becoming noilad, it now became mutter to become nishchat. You could go and shecht it, which was not possible before it was hatched. Af mukta hitter es atzme b'lei dosai. De miga de iskin laha, iskan laha. Meaning that the leida of the chick brought about, generated, a new heter. Prior to its leida, you couldn't shecht it. Now that the leida came, it now is mutter al yidei shechita, since it's mater atzmai, it self-generates its own heter, le'inyin, one iser, so miga de iskan laha, it could also be mater the iser mukta. And Pnei Yeshua says, I don't understand Rashi. What type of svara is that? Why would I say that just because it is matir for itself, one iser, that automatically should be matir another iser? So because of this question, the Pnei Yeshua wants to say his own hezber in what hoyol umatir atzma b'shchita means. And he's makdim his pshat by asking Tosis his question. Tosis over here asks that why would Shmuel, the Tamer of Yoichanan, look for a reason to answer Rav who says that it's aser mishem muktza? Both of them do not hold of muktza. As is mevur in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. The Pnei Yeshua offers his own teretz to Tosis Kasha. He says that although we learned on Daf Beis that Reb Nachman says, Ma de isle mukta isle noilad, ma de lesle mukta lesle noilad, Reb Nachman learned that the two are inseparable. If you hold of mukta, then you hold of noilad. Nevertheless, he suggests that Beshitas Shmuel, Vitem Reb Yoichanan, although neither of them hold of mukta, but they do hold of noilad. As we know from the Gemara Daf Beis, that Noilad is a much more severe form of Muktzah. It wasn't even here in the world. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, the Svara of Hoyul Umater Atzme B'Shchita is definitely not coming to address the problem of Muktzah. It's rather coming to address the problem of Noilad, which is the only problem that they have. How does it address the problem of Noilad? So for this, he says an innovative pshat. He says that the only time that you have a problem of Noilad is when the Leida brings about a new Oichel that wasn't there before. If the Leida does not successfully deliver a Shem Oichel, then there is no problem of Noilad. Noilad is a problem when something totally new comes onto the scene. Now here it's not something totally new, because there was the egg there, and the Aforech was inside the egg. What makes it Noilad is, like Tosis explains in the Beis, that you can have something acquiring a whole new identity. Like if you have Shivrei Kelim that previously had a Shem Kli and now got transformed through their Shvira into a new Metzias, something called firewood. So in order to get the problem of Noilad, it has to acquire an identity change. Says the Pnei Yeshua, in our case, what creates the Shem Oichel is not the Leida. Prior to the Leida, you weren't able to consume it. It was not an Oichel. After the Leida, you still can't consume it. You need the Shechita to go and be matir it. So since the Leida itself doesn't bring about the Shem Oichel, we can't aser it midin noilad. Hoyil u matir atzmai b'shechita. Since what's matir it is the Shechita and not the Leida, it doesn't suffer from the problem of noilad. You'll ask on the Pnei Yeshua, so then why don't we say that at the time that you shecht it and then you turn it into an Oichel, then it should become aser midin noilad? Because that's when you changed it from a non-Oichel into an Oichel. The answer to that is that if that would be true, then any shechita would be aser on Yom Tif, even if it wasn't something that was just hatched. So you have to say that the fact that it had the potential to be nishchat makes us look at the shechita as if it's only tikkun oichel, and it's not creating a new metzias entirely. Now, if that's the case, you could ask the other way. And the Pnei Yeshua does ask the other way, which is, since you just told me that the Shechita itself doesn't create a problem of Noilad, because it already had the potential from the time that it was born to be Nishchat, then we're back to square one. We should say that when it gets hatched, it is called Noilad because it is now in a position where you could Shecht it. So that, he said, is also not a problem of Noilad, because the fact that you could potentially Shecht it even existed while the chick was inside the egg. It was just that you had a technical problem that it was still Aser B'Isser Sheretz. So being hatched is not called creating a new Metzias that you didn't have before. And it's also, like you explained before, is not a problem of Noilad in terms of creating a Shem Oichel, because being hatched does not yet achieve the Shem Oichel. And the Shem Oichel that you're creating through Shechita does also not pose a problem of Noilad, because that's only called Tikkun Oichel. So it's a very mechurishtik way to learn our Gemara, because we would all say memanavshach. Either consider it being noilad at the point of its being hatched, and if you don't, because you say that it's not yet an oichel, so then let it be considered noilad when you do the shechita. Now, aside from the chiddush of what he's saying, it also is somewhat dachuk in the lashon, because according to what he's saying, hoyel umater atzmoy b'shchita is not really the point. According to him, what we really mean to say is that the leida is not the point in which it turns into an oichel. And when we say oil matar atzmi shchita, we mean to say it's the shchita that turns into an oichel, not the stage in which it becomes hatched. So that's a very roundabout way of saying it. We also could be medayek from the lashon the Gemara uses, hoyelu mater atzmo b'shchita. What do we mean by that? Hoyelu mater atzmo b'shchita. It should say, hoyel u'shchita materas oisai. Because instead of the leida being what's materas, the chick, it's the shchita that's materas. And that's what turns it into an oichel. So why do we use this lashon, hoyel u'mater atzmo b'shchita? Perhaps we could say that what the Gemara means is a svara which we find very often in Hilchas Muktzah. One of the rules is that when something is gomri b'dei Adam, if it's automatically going to become mutter on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, then it doesn't have a problem of Muktzah. Even though when Ben Hashmoshes came, it wasn't roi, but it doesn't make a difference since it's going to happen by itself. So too over here, even though when you started the beginning of the Yom Tov, this Efrayach was in the form of a sheretz. Since it was inside and hasn't yet opened its eyes, it's Aser. Rav says it has a din of Muktzah. Says Rabbi Yochanan, since we know that automatically there's going to be a stage in which there's going to be an available heter for this thing, it doesn't bother us that at the outset of the Yom Tov it wasn't Roy. Now the reason why Rav may disagree with this is because it's different than a regular Gomer B'day Adam, where at the outset of Shabbos or Yom Tov it's not Roy, and then automatically it becomes Roy. Here, at the outset of the Yom Tov it was not Roy, and later on it turned into something that I could make Roy through my actions. So Rav says that's called Muktzah, because that's removed from your mind. Bishlam, if you have something that will automatically become Roy by itself, then we say that's not Muktzah. But something which right now, at the beginning of Shabbos, is not Roy, and at its later stage of development, it's also not yet going to be Roy. I'm going to have to do something to be materit, that's too far removed from my mind to be considered not Muktzah. So this is perhaps what we mean when we say the Lashon of Mater Atzma B'Shchita. It's a self-generated heter. Gemara says that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi asked the Kashan Rav, you Rav say that the Efroich Shenon L'Biyomtev is Aser, V'chima Bein Zeh Le'egel Shenon L'Biyomtev. Why should the Efroich Shenon L'Biyomtev be any different than an Egel that was born on Yom Tov? The Braisa says later that it's Mutter on Yom Tov itself, according to everybody. To this they respond by saying that an Egel Shenon L'Biyomtev has a Heter Agav Imoy B'Shchita, which means that it's different than the Efroich. The Efroich, until it was hatched, it was impossible to eat it. Masha'en came the egel, while it was still b'me'ei imoy, it was possible to eat it, because there's a din called ben pekua. You could shech the mother and then eat the egel. However, to this, the Gemara answers, u'mabein zeh le'egel shenolu ben atreifa. Even an egel that's born from a behemoth that's a treifa, there you cannot shech the mother and eat the vlad. And to this, Rav didn't have an answer. Shasik Rav. Now the question the Gemara asks is, why was he quiet? My time is Shasik Rav. You can't answer over here that it was muchen agav imoy because you could have shechted the mother and eaten the vlad. But nevertheless, it was possible to give the mother, which was a treifa, to the klovim. So it was omid for something. The Efroyach, Rav could answer, at the time of Ben Hashmoshes wasn't even roy to give to klovim because it was inside an egg. You can't throw an egg to the klovim. Masha'en kein an egel shenel l'biyamtif, while it was inside the mother, which was a treifa, it was at least omid for the klovim. And this, the Gemara asked, that hashta, muchen l'adam, loy havi muchen l'klovim. We know there's a rule that muchen l'adam, something that is available for use for a person, if the person has intentions to use this for himself, we don't consider it muchen l'klovim. And the example for that is a behema shenisnavla on Shabbos, a behema that became an avela on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds of muktzah, his shita is that you cannot give it to eat to the klovim, because before it was nisnavla, before it became an avela, it was only muchen for an adam, not for the klovim. So we see that a muchen la'adam is not considered muchen la'klovim. So how can you say that a muchen la'klovim is considered muchen la'adam? Now Tosfos asks a very simple question on what the Gemara just said. We just said that a behema shenisnavla b'Shabbos, an animal that died on Shabbos, since Rabbi Yehuda says that you cannot give it to klovim, to the dogs, to eat. That shows me that muchen la adam lo yaveh muchen la klovim. And the question is, why is that called muchen la adam? If we're talking about that it died in the middle of Shabbos, a person was not capable of using this animal throughout Shabbos, because when Shabbos came in, it was still alive, and even though he planned on using it for his own use, but he wasn't capable of shechting it on Shabbos. So in what way was it muchen la adam? Tosfos gives basically two suggestions. One suggestion Tosfos has is that we're talking about Yom Tov, even though the Lashon is Shabbos. Number one, Tosfos says it could be that we're goyris me'erev Yom Tov, not me'erev Shabbos in the Mishnah, and therefore it is considered muchen la'adam as Yom Tov comes in, because Yom Tov you're allowed to shecht an animal. And therefore we have a good raya that muchen la'adam lehavi muchen la'klavim. That's Tosfos' first suggestion. And the second one is from the Rimi Korbil. The Rimi Korbil says that einachanami, we're talking about Shabbos. So how on Shabbos is it considered muchen la'adam if you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos? The answer is that you're right. You can't shecht on Shabbos. Nevertheless, we still have a raya that muchen la'adam lo yehavi muchen la'klavim. Because up until Bein HaShemoshes of Erev Shabbos, this thing was muchen la'adam. You were planning on shechting it. And in turn, if you indeed believe that muchen la'adam havi muchen la'klavim, then automatically included in the muchanus that you have for adam, you plan on shechting it for a person, is included the fact that you also plan on using it, if you need to, for klavim. And so, when the Bein HaShemoshes comes and you can no longer shecht it, you may lose the muchen la'adam, but you're not going to lose the muchen la'klavim. So why is it, when it's nisnavla in the middle of Shabbos, you can't give it to the klavim to eat? Must be you see that muchen la'adam lo yehavim muchen la'klavim. So we seem to have machlokes in the two terutzim of Tosfos. According to Tosfos' first terutz, if we were talking about Shabbos and not Yom Tov, then we would say that since it's not muchen la'adam when you go into Shabbos, because you cannot shecht it Bein HaShemoshes, it automatically is not muchen la'klavim either. Because even though muchen la'adam have muchen la'klavim, but this isn't called muchen la'adam. Masha'en Kein, the Rimi Korbil holds that even though Bein HaShemoshes, I cannot shecht it, so it loses its muchanus la'adam, but the muchen la'klavim will remain, since before Bein HaShemoshes, it was muchen la'adam. And included in muchen la'adam was the fact that it was muchen la'klavim. So they're really having a fundamental machloikis as to what we mean when we say muchen la'adam havi muchen la'klavim. According to the Rimi Korbil, muchen la'adam havi muchen la'klavim means that if a person has das to use something for an adam, he automatically also has das to use it for his klavim. And therefore, even if we have to remove the muchanis la'adam because it's impossible for him to use it for an adam, Bein HaShemoshes says he can't shecht it, that doesn't mean that he loses the muchanis l'klavim, because if he had das prior to Bein HaShemoshes to use it for the klavim as well, then there's no reason for that to go away. Masha Enkin Toises in their first teretz understands that muchen la'adam havi muchen l'klavim doesn't mean that because I have das to use it for a person, I automatically have das to use it for klavim as well. The person who has das to use it for himself doesn't have das to give it to his klavim. But that doesn't make a difference, because we say that on a halachic level, the hachana la'adam takes away the teretz muktza for klavim. The person's das is to use it for himself. The fact that he has das to use it for himself renders this thing muchan. And the din is that when something is muchan la'adam, then it automatically is mutter to be used for klavim as well. And therefore, if on Erev Shabbos, even though you had das to use it for an adam, the Bein HaShemoshes then comes and says you can no longer shecht it, so you lost your muchanus la'adam, then it can't be muchan la'klavim either. So Bishlam, according to the Rimi Korbil, the reason why we say muchen la'adam avi muchen la'klavim is because your das is that you're going to use it for your klavim as well. Then even when you lose the muchanis la'adam, you still have the muchanis la'klavim, because that was your das, and it may now be usher to shecht it, so you can't use it for a person, but it still remains muchen la'klavim. But according to Tosfos' first teretz, you never had das to use it for your klavim. The reason why it was muchen la'klavim was because it was included in the muchanis la'adam. We say that something that is muchen la'adam, so automatically on a halachic level, loses the teretz muktzah la'klavim. Well then, if on Bein HaShemoshes you lost your Muchanas La'adam, then automatically the Muchanas L'Klavim goes away. The Gemara brings two brises as rayas to Rav and to Shmuel. Tanikavase de Rav, Tanikavase de Shmuel v'temer Rabbi Yochanan. The brisa that says like Rav is very clear. Egel shenel biyomtiv is mutter, and a froich shenel biyomtiv is aser. Ma hefresh bein zel ze muchen agav imoy b'shchitiv ze ene muchen agav imoy. So you see, like Rav's earlier response to the kasha from Egel, that Egel's better than Afroyach because it's muchen agav imoy b'shchita. The next brisa, though, says Egel shenel biyomtiv mutter ve'afroyach shenel biyomtiv mutter. Both of them are mutter. My taima, why are they both mutter? Ze muchen agav imoy ve'ze mater atzmoy b'shchita. The Egel's mutter because it's muchen agav imoy, and the Afroyach is mutter because of the svar of mater atzmoy b'shchita. What's confusing is that earlier we brought a raya to the shita of Shmuel v'Temer Rabbi Yochanan that they say the svara of mater atzma b'shchita by Afroyach, and the raya was from the case of Egel, seemingly indicating that the reason why by Egel it's mutter when it's born on Yom Tif is also because of the svara of mater atzma b'shchita. In which case, it doesn't make sense. Why would the Braisa say that the reason for Egel is muchen agav imoy, which is Rav's response to the raya? And like we said before, in Egel Shenol ben Atrefi, you don't have the svara of Muchen Agav Imoy B'Shchita. All the Achronim ask this question, the Maram Shift, Pnei Yeshur, the Tzlach, and the Sfasemes. Perhaps we can answer based on a slight change in Loshen between the two brises. The first brise that the Gemara brings as a raya to Rav explains that the reason why in Egel Shenol B'Yomtov is Mutter is because it's Muchen Agav Imoy B'Shchita. That's Loshen al-Brise, is Muchen Agav Imoy B'Shchita. However, the second brise, which is brought as a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, says Egel Shenol B'Yomtov is Mutter because it's Muchen Agav Imoy, and it leaves out the word B'Shchita. Why is that? So it would seem that the two brises are saying two entirely different svaras. If you recall on Daf Beis, there were two shitas in the Rishonim how to understand why it is that a beitzah shenolda from a tarnegoilas ha'imedes la'achila is muteris. The Gemara said that that's called uchla de'ifras. It's considered food that has been dislodged from food. One way to understand is that since the mother has a shem oichel, anything that gets separated from the mother is muchen, just like the mother, because the mother was considered food. And therefore, this is something that got separated from a piece of food. However, Tosfos felt that wasn't enough. Tosfos understood that the svara of uchla de'ifras is built on the fact that if you wanted to, you could shecht the mother and eat everything inside. And that means it wouldn't be enough to say that the mother was food. It has to be that the egg itself was muchen prior to its coming out of the mother, and therefore there's no problem of noilad when it comes out, because before it was food and now it's food. And that seems to be the difference between the two brises that we have here. Why is it that an egel shenol b'yomtiv is mutter? So the first brisa says, because the egel was muchen agav imoy b'shchita, which means that you had the option, prior to its coming out, to shecht the mother and eat the egel itself. Which means that the egel itself, in order to get around the problem of noilad, needs to have been muchen and have been considered oichel prior to its being born. And that you have. It's muchen agav imoy b'shchita. Provided that you could shecht the mother, it's not an egel anodlu min atreifa, you were able to shecht the mother, and then you could eat the vlad while it was still b'mei imoy. So you have the svar of Tosfos of yiboy shachel of ochel kol shebegavo. Masha'enkein, the second brisa doesn't use the word b'shchita. And that could be because the second brisa understands that you don't even need the fact that the egel itself was muchen prior to its coming out. Because as long as it came out of something that had a shem oichel, that's enough to give it a shem oichel. Now we explained earlier that the reason why an efroyach shenol b'yomtiv is mutter, according to Shmuel v'Temer Rabbi Yochanan, is because ha'yolo mater atzmoy b'shchita. And we explain what that means is that it's a self-generating heter, similar to the heter of gomri b'dei adam, something that's going to happen automatically. Now that gets rid of the problem of muktzah, because something is here and you can't use it now, but you're going to be able to use it later, is not considered muktzah. What about the problem of noilad? When it gets hashed, it seems to be changing into an oichel. The answer is, like all the Rishonim seem to say, that while it was an egg, it was also oichel, because you planned on eating it. It just had an iser called a sheretz. So noilad it's not, because meikara oichel v'hashta oichel. And muktzah it's not, because of the svara of mater atzmoy b'shchita. What about the egel shenol b'yomtiv? You may have the svara of mater atzmoy b'shchita, but what about the problem of noilad? The egel wasn't here yet. So for that reason, the Brice has to say that the egel is mutter because it was muchen agav imoy. The Brice does not mean that it's muchen agav imoy b'shchita, like the svara of Rav. The Brice means that it was muchen agav imoy to get around the svara of noilad. Like we said, since it came from something that had a shem oichel, it now is not considered a new thing. And that's true even by a egel shenoylub not treifa, because although it was usr, it's the same thing as an egg, which was usr, but it had a shem oichel, and oichel that has a self-generating heter is not mukta. So lefiza, the Braisa could even be talking about an egel shenoylub not treifa. And it adds the tam of muchen agav imoy for the egel, because that's the only way you're going to get around the problem of noilad. And it comes out that both the egel and the afroich start off as food which is usr and generates its own heter, and that is not mukta based on the svara of hoyl umater atzmoit b'shchita.
You have been listening to the shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.